And now on this last service here in this building, we're just really thankful. But we really also are just really desperate for you and for your move in our lives, in our church, and through our church, through our community, and our world. And so we just ask you, Holy Spirit, would you guide us into the next season? Guide us this morning as we go to your word. And just encourage hearts and strengthen us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've been in a sermon series. I just felt like that the Lord wanted to speak in the book of 1 Timothy for 4 weeks before we headed over to the other building for the anniversary service and then moved our service times and place over there. And so we've been in 1 Timothy. And then after last Sunday, after the service, I felt like that the Lord gave me the passage to preach on this last Sunday in this building. And it happens to be in 2 Timothy. So I'm going to change the sermon series a little bit to the sermon series in 1 and 2 Timothy. Today we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. And I really feel like this is God's word on this last service in this building. And the title of today's sermon is How Hard Work Works. The way I felt like we're going to start off is I just want to start off with a little opener that I think will help us get thinking along the lines of hard work. And this passage talks about hard work. So there was a Gallup poll in 2014. And see if you know the answer to this. According to the 2014 Gallup poll, adults employed full-time in the U.S. report working an average of A, 40 hours, B, 47 hours per week, C, 53 hours per week, D, more than 55 hours per week. What do you guys think? How many guys think it's A, 40 hours per week? B, 47 hours per week? C, 53 hours per week, or D, more than 55 hours per week. Okay, a lot of hands for D. It's not that bad, but it is 47 hours per week. But, you know, you kind of think about that. You know, that's like a full day extra work more than the standard work week. So, you know, Americans are definitely working hard, right? And I think most of us can relate to that. So, let's read this passage. This passage talks about hard work or how a hard work works in God's kingdom. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. And I'm going to be reading it in the NASB just because that was the version I was studying out of this week. So I'm going to put that up on the screen. So let's read the NASB, New American Standard Bible, together. Let's read this. This is Paul's word to his protege Timothy, to the Ephesian church. This is God's word to us. Let's read it out loud together. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So we're going to start out in verse 1, in particular the first four words that Paul says. So this highlighted part, he says, I solemnly charge you. So the context of what was happening here is Paul's writing this letter from prison on his deathbed to his dear spiritual son, Timothy. And as he's writing these final words to his dear spiritual son, I think you would agree, it was a solemn moment. It was a moment when Timothy is leaning in to the great apostle Paul, his mentor, his spiritual father, listening for the final charge from his spiritual dad. And I think that we also would do well, right, to lean in to what Paul is saying here on his deathbed, his last words to Timothy, but God put it in scripture to us of saying, here it is about ministry, about life. Here's my last words that I'm speaking. And so as we lean in, let's see what Paul says to Timothy. So first let's read verses 3-4. So this highlighted portion. Let's read this again out loud together. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. I mentioned along the way in this series that false teachings was increasingly infiltrating the church, was increasingly infiltrating the city of Ephesus, where Timothy and the church was at. And it was getting worse and worse and worse to this point. As Paul is on his deathbed and writing to Timothy, it's that this bad, right? It's saying that people are turning aside in large numbers in an increasing way, and they're turning away from the truth, and they're turning to myths, the false teachings. Now, Timothy is just trying to plow ahead, take over the ministry at the church of Ephesus. And as all of this is unfolding, would you agree that it was extremely discouraging? Right, Timothy was trying to lead the Ephesian church, trying to evangelize, share the gospel message, teach the people how to live godly lives and to propagate the gospel message. And this situation was happening. It was getting worse and worse and worse. It was not getting better. It was just increasingly evil. And there was every reason for Timothy to want to give up, right, to give up his vision, to give up to lead the church, to give up propagating the gospel. And you know, in our lives, it might not be false teachings. We might not be facing this exact situation, but there's tons of reasons. I mean, even this morning, that we come to church, different things. We're trying to live out our Christian lives. We're trying to be good people, godly people, and there's certain things that could just discourage us, dishearten us, make us want to give up. And so Paul takes this moment, his last charge to Timothy, to speak some encouraging words to him. Amidst this situation that Timothy was facing, amidst whatever situation you're facing, God speaks these encouraging words. So let's continue on, verse 2 of this passage. Let's read this. Or the answer that Paul is answering is, how can we press on even when the enemy presses in? So he brings this encouragement to Timothy, the Ephesian church. Let's read verse 2, or this is the first portion. Let's read this out loud together. Preach the word. This would be good, right, for Timothy to continue to do. There was false teachings, and Paul's telling him, preach the word. And then Paul clarifies this call to preach the word with the rest of this verse. So let's read this together as he clarifies. It says, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Let me put it up here in list format. Just these are the pieces that Paul is telling Timothy to press in order to overcome and be victorious. So he says, he calls him to preach the word. He says reprove, which means correct. So correct the people in their false doctrines. Rebuke, exhort, have great patience. And he calls him to give instruction or to teach. And then I'm going to add to this verse 5. Verse 5 gives a little bit more clarity. So verse 5, to add to this list, let's read verse 5 out loud together again. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So let me add to this list of how Paul is saying, here are the ministry components for you to fulfill. He tells them to be sober, it means level-headed. Some other translations translate it's level-headed. Endure hardship. And he calls him to evangelize, to share the gospel with other people. Now, the overarching call of these ministry components that Paul is encouraging Timothy to press in on, the overarching call of this for Timothy, also for us, the overarching call was be prepared or be ready in season and out of season. He was calling him to hard work. He was calling him to preparation. Paul was clearly calling Timothy, hey, listen, you got to get ready. Even in the off season, get ready so that when it is in season, when it is time that you're going to be ready to discharge all the duties of this ministry, all the components of ministry, you will be ready. I think a good illustration here is an athlete in tip-top shape. They're training in the off season so that they can be ready when the season starts so that they will be able to do the things that they need to do. For us, this call here in this passage is called towards spiritual training in order to get ready. Let me put it like this for point number one. Point number one, how can we press on even when the enemy presses in? Point number one, work hard in season and out of season to be ready for our ministry assignments. So I was meditating on this passage this past week, and there was a video clip that kept going through my mind. And it really puzzled me because this video clip was saying, is saying the exact opposite message of this point that Paul is trying to communicate. So it really puzzled me because I'm meditating on this passage. This is clearly the message from this passage, but I kept on getting this video clip, and I sensed that it was the Lord that was giving it to me, but it really puzzled me. And I just meditated on this passage through the week, and probably about the middle of the week, maybe about Wednesday, it really blew my mind how God began to speak through this video clip. So I want to show you this about 40-second video clip. So here's where this Shaq video comes in right now. So you guys remember Shaq and Kobe. They were part of the Los Angeles Lakers. They brought home three NBA championships in the early 2000s. And some of you might know that they've been having a recent conversation about being prepared in season and out of season. And this video clip is from a year and a half ago. And they literally sat down and talking to each other about being prepared in season and out of season. And so I wanted to show you this 40-second clip of their conversation. And I just a couple of little disclaimers. They're using a little colorful language in this clip, although we edited it out, but just please bear with that. And the second thing is, it is going to seem like it's the opposite message that Paul is trying to communicate. But I'm going to connect it in because it just really blew my mind how God began to speak to me from the rest of this passage. So let's take a look at this clip, and then I'm going to comment more about this connection. And take a look at Shaq and Kobe talking about being prepared in season and out of season.
One thing I know I got a guy that's going to be ready. Mm-hmm. So I met a lot of times I didn't come into camp ready, because that's just how I got down. Because my thing is, I don't need to get ready for dunking.
Right.
I'll get ready when I get ready. So because I had you, I was able to just chill out in the summer, do what
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, see, that's what pissed me off. That was it right there. Hey, that was.
Listen, I got beat up. I got hack and shack. I was tired, man. I ain't doing no work. I'm going home. I'm swimming. Me and Uncle Jerome, we sipping pina coladas. We eating burgers.
My in the gym 10 hours a day.
One thing I know I got a kid that's going to give me 40 wherever he wants to. So.
So Paul said, be prepared in season and out of season. And Shaq is kind of operating on a different philosophy, right? He's saying, you know, I'll get ready when I get ready. I don't need to get ready in the off season. So I'm thinking, you know, this is the opposite. Man, this is not what Paul is talking about at all. So, you know, why, Lord, are you giving me this? You know, I just feel like it just kept popping in over and over again. And then the Lord just really highlighted something else that verse 1 talks about. All right, so I'm gonna point out something else that verse 1 talks about. And we could easily miss this. I think I was missing this as I was reading and meditating on it, because we sometimes just read this a little bit too quickly. So verse 1, this part that's highlighted, it says, I solemnly charge you, this is what Paul's saying, said I'm doing this in the presence of God. Paul was making an emphasis of, listen, we're all about needing the presence of God. He's calling them to hard work. But everywhere else, all of other Paul's other letters, all of the other exhortations, he's always emphasizing to be filled, to be guided, to be empowered by the presence of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when we're, I think especially in our culture, honestly, especially in our demographic, I mean, we get the hard work part. But what about this part that Paul, right at the beginning, when he says, I'm solemnly charging you this. These are my final words to you, and I'm doing it in the presence of God. And it's about the presence of God. Let me kind of tie this in with another scripture passage that talks about the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. This is Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit, about the presence of God. John 14, verse 16. Let's read this out loud together. This is Jesus' words. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Let me put a parenthesis here just to make the connection with this passage in 2 Timothy. In season and out of season. He's saying, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, the advocate, that you would be able to be in season and out of season prepared. The word here, advocate, is a Greek word. And obviously, advocate is referring to the Holy Spirit. The Greek word here is a Greek word, parakletos. And it's really two Greek words combined. So para means to one side. Kletos means called one. So combined, it's talking about the Holy Spirit is called to one side. I was thinking about that video clip. And Shaq, he doesn't, you know, just honestly, he didn't really get that part about the hard work part. But I think that there is a message here that, that Paul is trying to communicate, that it wasn't just about the hard work, but it was about the hard work undergirded by the power of the Holy Spirit coming alongside. So God was speaking to us and speaking to Timothy and the Ephesian church in their transition, in our transition collectively, but individually in the situations that we are facing, not just calling us to hard work, but let me put it like this for point number two. How can we press it on even when the enemy presses in? Point number two, let our hearts rest assured as we invite Holy Spirit to come alongside to undergird our hard work. So let me share a little bit just about the process that God has me and us in, and just in meditating on this passage and thinking about our transition and moving over to the other building. When I felt like that the Lord brought me to this passage in the beginning of the week, I really was scratching my head of why, you know, why would the Lord bring me to this passage and preach this message about hard work. And I was thinking, our group, I think you would agree, we don't need a message about hard work. Right? I mean, Americans are working an extra day per week. In this room, just because I know a lot of the situations and work situations, I think it's a lot more. It's more. So I don't know if we need a message about hard work. I think about our transition. And literally, when we move over on September 22nd, we would have been working on the transition for a year and a half. We would have been preparing in season and out of season for a year and a half on September 22nd to launch the services over there. I don't know. I'm sure we will miss some things, but I mean, we have done our due diligence of preparation. And then I think about a couple weeks ago in our town hall meeting, we mentioned that there's going to be 18 teams every Sunday serving, and we calculated it's 109 people volunteering every single weekend. Actually, that number is even higher because there's other people that are volunteering in unofficial ways. So 109 plus people volunteering every Sunday to just do their Sunday ministry. I just don't think that our group needs a message about hard work. But I think our group really needs a message. And I am the first one to receive this message. That sometimes it just becomes just about the hard work. But Paul was saying it's got to be in the presence of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit coming and undergirding all the hard work, that he is one who is called to our side, that we would move in the power of the Holy Spirit as we work hard as he calls us to. You know, our culture, I mean, the American culture, but a lot of us from, it's really any culture, but a lot of us from the Asian American culture, I mean, we get point number one. But Paul was speaking to Timothy, and God brings us to this passage to call us to be ones that are inviting the power of the Holy Spirit to come and undergird, to come and come alongside and do what only he can do, to empower us to answer the call that he has for us, for Timothy, to answer the call that God had for him, to face all the discouragements that were coming his way with all the false teachings, to face all and be victorious in all of the discouragements and things that are disheartening in our lives or in our ministry, all the attacks of the enemy by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes alongside. And I mention this often when I preach about the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, right? He awaits and longs for our invitation. But he doesn't just barge into our lives and just force us along and just force his way to come and walk alongside. And I think about that idea of an invitation, right? That as we're invited into something that we gladly come, but that invitation's got to be extended. And I check my own heart. Has it been just about hard work and plowing on and pressing in and just spinning our wheels and trying harder? Or is it that we're answering God's call and we are working hard, but we are also desperately inviting the power of the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do, to come and undergird and come alongside? And I think that I know that there's got to be that desperation in us for the Holy Spirit to just come and undergird and do what he can only do. You know, I certainly think that for us collectively, we need this message. I mean, as we transition and we move forward with a multi-ethnic vision. By the way, I've been saying this along the way, like no other Chinese immigrant church in history has ever done this transition. So, and I've been kind of in touch in recent weeks as we are transitioning with some of the guys that are like really, really, nationally, monitoring the Chinese immigrant church. And like, no one has been successful at doing this. And it's not going to be just by our hard work, though God calls us to hard work. But it's got to be about an invitation of the Holy Spirit to come alongside and empower and do what only he can do. But I think about some of the personal situations here. I think about some of the challenges, because I've been, just as a pastor, sometimes it's heavy. And when I just look out, I see situations and challenges. And I know that it's already part of our culture. It's already part of our DNA just as Americans or whatever the case may be about hard work and spinning our wheels. But have you been spinning your wheels and not seeing the fruit and not seeing the results? Then we have to check our hearts and say, man, have I been inviting the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he does, of who he is, the Parakletos, to come alongside? He has been called to come alongside. That's what he wants to do. That's what he does. But he awaits the invitation from us. And I just think, as we close out, I mean, we will pray just collectively and we'll just invite the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and as we transition and just for the power of the Holy Spirit to be with us and guide us and empower us. But I just felt also for just some of us individually and in our situations, I think that invitation needs to be given the Holy Spirit. And it's not just going to be about our hard work, but it's going to be about the power of the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do, to do what only he does, is be called one to come alongside it and undergird the hard work. So let's respond to God's word. And let's just pray together. So, Abba, let's stand. And can I ask the worship team and prayer team if you can come forward at this time too? Let me just pray for us collectively first. And if you feel comfortable, just extend your hands out and we're just going to receive. And I'm just going to pray and invite Parakletos to come to our side. So, Lord, on this last Sunday here in this building, we just do recognize your grace. We just do recognize you, Parakletos, Holy Spirit, that you have come to our side and just walked with us along this whole journey. But we want to extend to you an invitation on this last day to guide us forward and as we transition next week and next week. We just want to recognize our desperation for you. Thank you for great work ethic in America and in this church. Just thank you for that. But we just recognize that's not enough. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to come and undergird and come and walk alongside. It's got to be the power of the Holy Spirit. So we just invite you. We just invite you. Just want to give a private moment here. So if you could just close your eyes just so people have a private moment. Are you here today and you've been spinning your wheels? You've been working hard on a family situation, on a relationship situation, on a job situation, a ministry situation, the list goes on and on. And it's been hard. And you feel feel like you've been spinning your wheels. And maybe you haven't given that invitation to Holy Spirit to be the Paracletos, to be the one to come alongside and undergird the hard work. Let's give him that invitation as we respond to his word today. So all eyes closed, if that's you and you're like, Holy Spirit, I just give you that invitation right now. Power of the Holy Spirit, come. Come alongside, come and undergird. Just to put your hand all the way up and then down. That's just you just communicating with the Lord and just inviting his presence and his power. Just hand all the way up and then down. That's just you, your heart, speaking to him and reaching up to him. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you into those situations, into those places, into those assignments. Come alongside, come and undergird. Welcome you. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. We'll do a little bit of ministry later, but this is the song I just follow. This song is really speaking of invitation of the Holy Spirit. So just sing this as a response prayer, as a response song, and invite Holy Spirit into those situations. Invite him into your life. Invite him into your ministry. Invite him to come and come alongside. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Receive this song as our prayer of response. Come.